Today on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, talking with Adam Noyes, husband, father, IT professional, and doesn't get much realer than fixing a printer before moments before jumping on the podcast. And what I'd like to know is how, and this doesn't happen anymore. Well, and I guess no, absolutely it does happen now. What I want to know is how it happened back in the day that you recognized IT could actually be a career in eighth grade. What happened back then in eighth grade? By the time, can we go back in time? By the way, what year was it?
Yeah, so go back to the Wayback Machine. This was 1997. So I'm going into my eighth grade year in 1997, and I took a...
I graduated high school in 95, so that dates me. So you're a young... You're a youth. Anyways, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I enrolled in a quote-unquote web design class.
Ooh.
Some out there in the audience would remember GeoCities.
There we go.
So this was a GeoCities web design class. And make a long story short, the teacher at the time recognized that I was getting all my work done early and helping the other students. So unbeknownst to me, she went to the principal and said, "Hey, this dude is getting it. I would like to have him be an aide for me spring semester." Principal agreed, gave me an A for spring semester, and yes. I was like a teaching assistant in eighth grade.
For free?
For free.
Oh, for there free. We go. There we go. The first time you were used as an IT person.
And it's never stopped since.
I realized that this could be a career when I got used for the first time and didn't get paid for it. I knew that was my calling.
Volunteerism from here on out. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. What led you to, well, I don't know. Talk to me about web design or something like that, because we have our woes right now. I had to fire my whole web design team this morning. True story. Oh, wow. At 11:15. Sorry, we're not going, whatever. I'm not going to reveal yet, but we have a backup plan, because you always got to have a backup plan. You got to have redundancy. You got to be ready to go right away. Flip the switch. Anyways, plan two. But anyways, talk to me. How was that teacher's assistance thing? Were you better?
Yeah. So it was awesome. I got to be a customer service support staff for that class. I got to help a variety of people. This was early on in computers, so a lot of people didn't have computers at home. This was their first glimpse into any type of technology like that. So it was fun. And I realized that I picked it up pretty quickly. And
actually does sound like kind of fun. Like what kind of coding what kind of web design were we building in
there? It was absolutely no design. It was find a template that you think is cool, plop some pictures and some text in there, and you've got yourself a web page.
They had that drag and drop. They had that back then?
They did, yeah.
What was it called again? Because I don't remember that.
GeoCities.
GeoCities. We're going to look up a picture of this. GeoCities. Okay, so then trajectory forward. What happened?
Trajectory forward, rolling into high school, the whole high school experience, and then, okay, you got to start visiting colleges. During that time, it was pretty much known that if you didn't go to college and get a degree, you weren't going to make any money.
You'd be a loser. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just be a loser.
That's exactly how I thought about it. And then I realized, and now I'm telling my son, start working with us.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite now, being out exposed to the trades. But anyhow, there was a local private university in town. I enrolled there, and that actually spurred my first job within IT with a local family. Had a company in town, so it all kind of started to match, and it's all built on relationships. So
yes, relationships. Tell me a little bit about where you are right now. What is the feel? What is the vibe? What is the IT vibe internally at the company? Loving IT as a business force multiplier, treating you like a cost center. What's the vibe without revealing anything?
They recognized me as a leadership partner within the business. They've had some bad experience with IT staff in the past, just not passing muster, not being what they need to be.
And what is that in your opinion?
Just not to be a cost center, to be a helpful asset in growing the business. I've run into it countless times where people want to either, you know, they want to grow the business somehow, whether that's real estate, you know, expanding offices or purchasing new companies, whatever. IT is always an afterthought. And I have punched through that stigma and really forced myself into the conversation because there's so much cost savings and so much better innovation if you're in those early conversations.
Yes.
So that's where I'm at. I mean, I sit at the leadership table here, and I'm doing a little bit of everything at the moment. But I am here to manage the IT portion, which is, you know, the front office, but also the systems integration out in our production floor. So we've got a lot of heavy machinery out there that is connected Internet of Things type machinery. And I'm marrying those two together.
Wouldn't it be great if we just had, you know, I asked you what your IT dream super tool is, and I know what the answer is. But I kind of feel like I wish I could just push a button and unify all applications across the world with just like a button push. That would be my dream super tool. Full unification upon one button pressing, all in one application that's not called Salesforce. That would be, I'm not even bashing Salesforce. We can call it Salesforce. That's okay. If you want to call it Salesforce, if you can do that, that'd be great. Like, please do it. But it's probably going to be Microsoft in the end. You said unwavering patience would be your dream super tool, which I think would be anyone's. I think that would be like the dream super tool for any human being alive on the face of this planet. But how does that apply to IT? Why is patience so important?
Because when you're an incredibly small team, like I have been most of my career, one to three to five people, you wear a lot of hats and you get pulled in 10,000 directions every day. And some days are better than others, but you just have to have that patience and know that, okay, you're gonna pivot 10 times today. Don't lose it type of deal.
How do you deal with that? Because I have people right now. I have people right now that I talk off a cliff on a daily basis. I have people that I text and I just say, hey, man, what's going on? Just, you know, wanted to, you know, whatever. I just want to know. I noticed this and whatever it is. And they'll say back to me, thanks. I really needed that today.
I just try to be a real person. I'm not a magician. I don't know absolutely everything within technology, very far from it. I try to be personable. I try to, you know, if it's my coworkers here, you know, feeling the room out, I will use probably some misguided humor along the way. I really just try to be real. And then when I leave the office, I do something non-technical, whether it's, you know, sitting at one of my kids' baseball practices. That's my me time, is sitting outside in the quiet. So I unplug.
Yeah, I do have a dream of living off the grid. I do have that dream. It would be nice. Just live off the grid.
Some people get it. That's right.
I just take that jump. I just got to do it. Just got to, you know, fearless. There is a storm of technology change, a storm. It's only going to get worse and worse. Maybe Bitcoin will fix it all. It's just getting worse and worse. And someone made a comment the other day about, you know, the number of AI salespeople showing up in their LinkedIn inbox. And I kind of laughed. I kind of chuckled. I was like, there's no AI salespeople in my inbox. Like, what do you mean? What are all these AI products anyways that people are selling? And then it's like, I shouldn't have said it, because all of a sudden now there's a storm of AI people in my LinkedIn inbox. And a new surge of, I think, AI recruiters. I don't even think they're real people. I think they might be fake. I don't even know, which is why, you know, LinkedIn has to have a verification profile now. But anywho, navigating the technology change in this world, we have to kind of like play a balance, and almost it's almost like less is more. you know, especially with the AI, I don't know what we want to call this. It's almost like a scourge of things. Any thoughts there?
Yes, I really try to leverage, you know, technology with real world. Our CEO mentioned in a meeting earlier this week that technology is not going to solve our problems. It's not going to make the parts that we make. It's a tool that we use to make those parts. We're still interacting with customers. We're still navigating the production streams, the issues that come up during production. We got to get out of that mindset that technology is going to save the world, because it's not. It's going to do the opposite.
Love it. I love it.
So you gotta keep that in front of your mind, because you'll ask anybody that I've known in the last 5 years and back, I'm the most anti-technology IT professional you'll probably ever meet.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime. Yeah, so I think this is great. First of all, that's the quote for the show. Greg the Frenchman, my right hand technology guy, who I want to take the advice here, please take this advice. Technology is not going to solve all our problems at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. It is not. However, because what do? We build relationships. We talk with people. That what is it at the end of the day? What does the IT person really need to do? They're the person that knows technology, but they need to build the relationships and show and through the building of relationships and empathy and helping people do their jobs better, they need to speak with people to show people how, I guess, to make their jobs easier, right? But technology is not going to solve the IT guy's problem. The IT guy's problem is probably building relationships in with people, most likely. And like you said, the business problem is like, what's the guy that owns the whatever, the Shark Tank dude that owns the basketball team? What's wrong with me? Mark, whatever, Cuban or whatever?
Cuban, yeah.
Yeah, what does he say? He says sales fix all problems. What is sales? Good relationships with people and your customers. Really? Like building good relationships that solves all problems. So technology is not going to solve our problems. Communication with people and building relationships is. So how can we use technology to build better relationships? That's my question to you.
It's just getting out there and showing how to use that technology to make their lives, their job, I don't want to say easier, but more efficient, turn out a better product. It's just
communicate better. Yeah.
I said before, they're all tools in your toolbox that you can be better. And there is a fine line there where you need to back off the technology, quit throwing technology at problems, and get right down to the actual issue.
Can you give me an example of that? Because I can think of a few, but I'd love to hear it from you.
The communication of data. We have a lot of production data floating around this facility, and you know everybody wants the data right now, but they want it in paper form, or they want it, you know, in a spreadsheet form. Let's just get that data out and live out in the production floor, up on a big screen. It's live. Nobody's touching it. Nobody's printing off other versions of those Excel spreadsheets. So that's one way to use technology to better, just to get the data out there more readily available.
Yeah, I like it. We don't need to build three different APIs to build five different forms in Excel. And then, well, this guy uses Google Docs, so we got to use whatever, Google spreadsheets. Right. And can we spit it out over here in this other one too? Send it over to Power BI. And then, throw it up on a flat screen. and it's creating the awareness that the data needs to create.
Yep. And then everybody's got the same information at the same point in time, no discrepancies, no questions, and be able to just do the job.
I had it come up the other day where I was like, well, we'll just build a hook to do that. I was like, why? You know, why do we need to, because it's going to take you a certain amount of time to build that code, that whatever, whether it's no code, low code, whatever, it's going to take you time to build that little link between these applications. And what is it really doing? What is it really doing? It's like, it was like this, like complex, we have issues with, inside here, we have issues with like coordinating recording calls and recording podcasts and coordinating guests all together and like this mix of, you know, all the IT directors' busy schedules and the host schedules and the hosts that are IT directors at the same time. Like, how do we make it all match up together? Well, we can build this and we can do this and we can bring all these things together, and then we'll take their Calendly link and this Calendly link, and then we'll put it into this new calendar, and then we'll all link it with, you know, this. And it's like this kind of like web of everything. And I said, like, why don't we just throw all the people that are willing to be on the show over to our human being and they call them and manually schedule it. It'll be more personal. We'll actually talk with a person, and it won't be this weird thing that we've got to like kind of all build together and like mash together, and it'll probably won't work perfect and it'll be a little buggy anyways.
Exactly.
That's where technology is not going to solve the problems. An actual human being physically calling and speaking to someone can actually do something better there.
That's from a
scheduling standpoint. I think, is that kind of getting the message across of what we're trying to do?
And that's exactly how it worked, me getting on this show. You know, one of your partners reached out to me and wanted to chat.
Sure. Yeah. The godfather of my children, Justin, if I die, he takes over as dad. Yep. He takes over as dad. And if he dies, I take over as dad, I think, unless he's taking me out of the will or something like that. Yes, that is exactly what happened. And then another one of my guys who like is a new kid that joined on the team, I think reached out to you, and then you were like, well, I was talking with Justin back in the day, and then Justin was like, oh yeah, Adam, and he was like, oh yeah, and then I go and I get on my cell phone, I'm like, oh yeah, we did have a missed meeting before in different text messages, and here we are. So
the stars aligned.
Really cool. What's the growth model for IT professionals? I'm just curious for you, like what's the end game for you? Is it work my way up in corporate America? Is it save money? Is it, no, I'm going to go off the grid someday, and I just like, you know, I'm going to be a lumberjack somewhere. I don't know. Is it, I want to start a consulting business. I've just been throwing this has been kind of the theme this morning with some of the other people that I've been talking with. I spoke with Brian Gillette this morning, who's like an MSP, like sales trainer. And I'm just trying to, you know, I want to know what the end game is. I want to give back somehow. What's the end game for IT?
Yeah, so I've asked all those questions about myself. I've considered starting my own consulting, you know, small, medium business consulting firm. I've worked for large corporations, small mom and pops. And what I'm struggling to break through now, just in my own persona, is surround yourself with people smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been one of the sole IT people, so nobody knows what I know about technology, or a lot of it. But here, where I'm presently at, we're building a team. So right. I need to get around that stigma of, okay, you need to find a guy that's strong in networking, strong in database, scripting, whatever that may be, lose some of that control. I mean, I took that to our CEO, had a conversation. He's like, that's where I'm at. I've surrounded myself with people smarter than me. And that's why we're growing at the pace we are. That's where I am. And he's a lot younger than me, to be honest with you. And he's killing it. So that's where we need to break down the silos. We need to keep relationships. Again, that's another reason I'm on this show right now, because Justin reached out to me years ago and stars never aligned at that point. But you know, relationships.
I love that you said years ago. I love that we've been around that long now that we can actually say years.
Yeah.
And I've realigned my and re-edited the mission statement this week, and maybe you can help because I think it all lines up with what we're trying to do here. And we're doing this big forklift website upgrade. As you know, we fired the developers this morning and we're getting some new ones, but it's to be the number one IT leadership podcast in coveted community of IT elite, because when you get to the top, it gets lonely at the top. And how do you know, like you said, who to surround yourself with, and where, how do we find these groups? And I mean, obviously there's a lot of different ways we can go out. We can go to IT Expo and we can do that like that. But what we're looking to do is elite community, coveted community of IT, and to put IT leaders first by seeking to understand them and the customers they serve, and to always be curious and to lead with empathy and excellence and polished execution. So, and always be dissecting IT and empowering leaders and driving success. So we want you. We want you, Adam. We want you part of the IT elite. We want you to connect, and we want to all really create this kind of peer-to-peer community. And we're hoping that by third quarter, fourth quarter, we'll have all of the, you know, the we're going to do some more live calls. We're going to have, like, you know, whatever, live Thursdays or something like that. We want to teach. We want to have a good... We're really struggling on how we want to do the forum. Should we just do like a private, you know, a Reddit forum because it, you know, SEO so well? Like, why build our own forum on the back end? Because who wants to join another forum? But if it's in Reddit, it seems more like, maybe, I don't know. So we're just throwing that out there for anyone listening. If you've got any ideas, you want to volunteer in any way, that's the premise of all of this that we're doing. And we need a way to get all of these 300 IT leaders that have been on this podcast, and we need to find a way to all get together. And I don't know, maybe we should just, I like the idea of just renting, like, you know, 20 villas on the beach and the Mediterranean, and, you know, let's just take a week off and all fly out there and get together. But, maybe that's too much. Maybe that's too grandiose to begin. We'll start smaller.
That sounds like something to shoot for anyhow.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
So how do you balance, you know, between IT? I have a trouble finding balance. I have a trouble finding balance between being a father of eight and having two grandchildren and being married and all these other things going on at the same time and doing this, this insanity that we do on a daily basis. How do you find balance?
So I'm fortunate enough to work for an organization that appreciates the balance. They recognize that we are here 8 to 10 hours a day. That leaves a lot of hours outside of this facility to do other things. If you're thinking about work 24/7, you're not giving emphasis on the rest of your life. And throughout my short to moderate career, I've realized that, and I've read in several articles and quotes, that as an employee, you could be replaced within days or weeks. As a husband or a father, you can never be replaced.
You're gonna make me cry.
And you know, things throughout my life that I've experienced, just like they can replace me in a week or two, I can replace them in a week or two. But I can't replace my kids. I can't replace going on vacation with my family. Because you never know when you don't get that again. I can work the rest of my life doing something, but I can't be a dad to three little leaguers.
It's true. It's true. You know? I do a lot of traveling with my family. It's one of the reasons why I left corporate America years ago and did this thing, so that I can be home more often. Although, as of recently, it is eating up a lot of my time, and I find balance to be when you're really passionate about something, that can be one of your biggest demises at the same time.
Yep. I've always felt that in IT, you're always on call. And to a certain extent, yes, but the ability to say no is very powerful.
Yes. I think that's the best thing to leave this off, to end this show on. One of the best pieces of advice, unless you have something else that you want to teach us, it's just some amazing teaching moment.
No, that's just, I mean,
everything. Saying no, you can't replace.
Important life. Yeah.
You can replace a server. You can replace a server. You can do a forklift upgrade, right? You can, yes, like you said, most employees are replaceable, and most companies are replaceable, and there's people ghosting people on a daily basis. Adam Noyes, thank you so much for being on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Been a long time coming, and it's been a pleasure, and thank you for doing what you do.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you for your time, Phil, and we'll talk to you soon.